Let me get a C note. Perfect. What's up, guys? Thank you for tuning in. Today we're going to be talking to MCKO and listening to his song, Roaring Lion, from his album, Poetry in Motion. All right, let's get it. Hello, everyone. We're on the mic with MCKO. Tell the people who you are, please.
Hello, everybody. My name is MCKO, and I am fighting for the truth that set me free. So three and a half years ago, I experienced something very supernatural going on in my life, and it resulted in a lot of frustration. So long story short, it was a spiritual attack, voodoo, witchcraft, and it resulted in me losing my mind. And I tried all different types of things to find sanity. I tried, you know, seeking spiritual advisors like psychics and mediums and spiritual bad psychedelic drugs and meditation. Man, I was going through it for like a long 6 months, just trying to battle these schizophrenic thoughts and nightmares while I was sleeping, and a living nightmare as well. And then I saw a testimony by the man of John Ramirez, and the most powerful warlock in Brooklyn. And he explained, not touch those who had a real relationship with Jesus Christ through his witchcraft. So as he was saying that, I was like, wow, like all this time, you're telling me Jesus is the answer. So I was in my room at my mom's house. I was like 18, 19 years old. And I called on the name of Jesus. I asked him to forgive me for everything that I do, because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just trying to win. I'm trying to, you know, to be cleansed. I'm trying, you know, and I just need him to save me. He's the savior that everybody says you are. I'm sorry for bashing your name and for rejecting you all my life. And since then, I started seeking him more and more. That's what I mean when I say I'm fighting for the truth that set me free, because I was just like lost. I was lost and like everybody else is in the world. So I understand. I understand like those who reject Jesus. I understand those who think that Christians are very judgmental and they just want to shove Jesus down your throat. And I understand the thought of follow the Bible because it's something that humans wrote. I understand all of those barriers that are inside those people's heads, because it was in my head very strong. And you know what I'm saying? And it's the truth that set me free. And I feel like God put me through all of that so I can have an understanding and have common ground with the world, so I can pull people into the light that I see. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay.
So what would you say to those who are still struggling with those same type of thoughts, those thoughts that say, hey, this is not real. This is man-made. This is something that was pressed on us from slavery, or, you know, all of those different things really that really Satan has tried to put in people's head to keep them away from Christianity.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of that, too. I mean, the devil's real, you know what I'm saying? And the devil is a liar, and the devil fights to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know what I'm saying? And he's doing anything in his power to keep you away from Jesus, because once you're in Jesus, you have power over him. And, you know, that's the truth that I walk in, and I just don't know how else to put it, because that's, you know what I'm saying? It's very frustrating right now, because people are so filled with hate. And they're confused. Mm-hmm. They're blinded by their own emotions. And so I understand what you guys are saying. But when it comes from, you know, when people say, I don't believe in the Bible because that's something humans wrote, I had that same struggle. You know, I called myself a follower of Christ, and I didn't like believe 100% of the Bible in the beginning of my walk. And that's because I had that same thought. And what broke me from that was God literally blessing me with the ability to come up with lyrics, because I've always had a passion for hip hop and poetry, but I've never been able to exercise it because of those blockages within my own head and those limitations that Satan was using against me. He did not want me to write my truth. So like, you know, when I actually asked God for this gift, it's like I had the encounter with the Holy Spirit, and then he basically showed me, he's like, the same spirit that taught you how to write music is the same spirit that wrote my word. Is this, you know, God used, uses like pen, he used humans like pens to write his word. So, you know, and that's something that it took a while for me to understand, but I had to go through my own experience and receive my own revelations. And that's what the people must do as well when they choose to follow God. God will reveal himself more and more, the more that you reveal yourself to him.
Amen. Amen. That's a good lesson to learn. I like the way that analogy was made, how God is saying, hey, look, yes, the Bible was written by men, but I instill that word in them. And just like you just said, just like with your lyrics, when you're rapping about the word, that is the word that God has instilled in you. So that's wonderful.
Correct.
Yeah, amen to that for real. I like the way it was put.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, it's just, you know, God has put me through this for a reason, and he wants my story to be told. And just like this song right here, Roaring Lion, I feel like I'm just a roaring lion, you know, because I got to fight for this, because this is a fight that we're in. We're in a spiritual battle, and
for sure.
I'm not even fighting for myself. I'm fighting for everybody else. And I'm just, you know, before I even came to the cross, God gave me a fighter spirit. So I'm just, you know, this song, the lyrics just came together. It kind of just, you know, rhymed together. Just a roaring lion is who I am for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Okay. So we've heard a little bit about who you are. What are you? What are your personal roles?
Well, today I am, I'm figuring that out. Me and my wife are now self-employed. We took a leap of faith, and we left our home, our hometown about a month and a half ago, or about 2 months now. And so back home, we were both servers on Clearwater Beach. And I was doing that for about a year. And then teen struck the earth down, and now people are scared to go out to eat. So we lost our jobs. And my wife has been doing videography on her, you know, like spare time, and making music videos for people and stuff like that. And then ever since, we've been trying to get back into the restaurant industry. It's just been tough because, you know, all the other servers that lost their jobs, they got their jobs before us. You know, we can't just walk into a place, even with a strong resume, we can't just get a job at a restaurant anymore because the occupancy is at 50%. And then it's just not even worth it because you won't even get hours. So then we decided, you know, and then we try to get other jobs too, like even just working at Dunkin' Donuts, like just to pay the bills and stuff like that. And it just never really worked out in our favor. And we realized that just God is calling us to do this full time, just figure it out and trust him. And he's been taking care. He's been opening doors for us to receive, you know, to more clients for videography. So that's paying the bills. He wants us to start a clothing line that just is basically repping so people can rep their faith. And, you know, he just wants us to do all these things. And it's like God has called us to do so much, and there's only so much we can do. But we're still figuring it out. You know, like we literally just took this leap of faith and we're figuring it out. We pray for it every single morning, every single night for him to reveal our purpose to us. So right now, basically, we are self-employed out in downtown Orlando, videographers, and that's all we are right now. Still figuring it out.
Amen. Okay, so you're a husband, entrepreneur, Christian hip-hop artist.
Yep.
Those are some roles.
My wife, she's dabbling into hip-hop as well. She's just like me. Ironically, she's always had that burning passion for hip-hop in her heart. Well, for music in general, she's like more melodic and R&B-ish. And I, you know, struggle with that all my life, just not having these thoughts deceiving me from actually believing I can do it. And after her spending so much time with me, and like we were in the studio yesterday, and I had her hop on some, you know, back vocals just so I can have some female vocals. And she actually heard herself for the first time on the mic, and everybody was, you know, encouraging her for it. And now she's like falling in love with it. So she's literally on the deck right now, like excited to start writing lyrics and stuff like that. So yeah, it's like, I pray for this too. Like, God, just bring your greatness out of both of us, because, you know, without you, we can't do it. Just like, you know, her, she can't, she never believed she can do it, but with Christ, we can do anything. It's just amazing.
Cool. God has a way of connecting us with the people that we need to be connected with. That's in personal relationships, business relationships, and any other type of relationship that you can think of. He has a way of connecting us with the right people. That's amazing.
Amen. And you guys are husband and wife as well?
We are.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. So what do you guys do?
This right here. Christian artist, obviously. I'm singer, songwriter, rapper. I'm pretty much the computer guy or gal. That's my end.
Awesome. Yeah, well, obviously husband and father.
Christian, you're a rapper too?
Yep, Christian hip hop artist. I manage for Sprint, well, T-Mobile now.
Oh yeah, you guys merged.
Yep. Writer, poet, self-proclaimed techno geek, because I love technology. And yeah, those are my roles.
Yeah, that's why we love this so much, because we have found that a lot of times Christians, they get a specific talent or gift that they have been given from God, and that's what they stick with. But since we've been doing this, we have found that Christians have so many gifts and talent, not just one thing. You know, like you said, you know, you guys are not just hip hop artists. You guys are videographers and you're entrepreneurs, and we're doing multiple things. So many Christians just have a multitude of gifts given to them, from God.
Yeah. God is so great. he can bring stuff out of you that you never even thought you had. And that's exactly what he's done through me with this music. You know, I've always wanted to do it. Just never believed that I could do it. But then I took that same analogy from when I was in the boxing gym. So me growing up in a boxing gym, I knew I had that gift. It was just something that came naturally to me. But I also witnessed in the boxing gym people who didn't have that gift naturally. They had to work for it. They had to get beat up. They were in the gym consistent, and that's what made them champions. Consistency. It's what their heart did, you know? So then God gave me this revelation. It's the same thing. You know, this music gift didn't come naturally. You had to struggle. You were very frustrated in the beginning, but you put your heart to it. You put your mind to it. You put your everything into it. You practice, and that's what made you an artist. And that's the same thing that makes people a champion. Talent does not beat hard work. Hard work always beats talent. And absolutely. With God, man, you're unstoppable.
True. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. I wonder, so was there anything that you took from boxing that you could implement, you know, in your Christian hip hop journey?
Yes. I mean, to understand or to defeat your opponent, you must first identify him. So in life, everybody is fighting an invisible enemy because they have not identified who he is, what his motives are. So how can you win? How can you overcome Satan? How can you overcome sin if you don't even know what it is? So the first thing is to identify your opponent, analyze him, understand him, and then you can take him down. So this is war, you know, and when you understand that, you are given wisdom and strategy in the battlefield, and you can become victorious in Jesus. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? You have to understand the word of God. You have to suit up in the armor of God. You have to understand that. And also, like, when you take a punch, you can't just sit there and cry about it. You have to just take it and move on. You know, it's a punch fight. So, you know, Absolutely. And also you got to stay, you got to have that temperance and be able to be in control of your emotions and to be still and just know that God is in control no matter what else is going on around you. Even if you're getting beat up and your backs are on the ropes, even if you're knocked down on the ground, you need to know that God is for you and be still and just rise. You know, because sometimes the enemy likes to intimidate us and make us believe that, you know, we can't overcome this. We can't, you know, but God is always right there in your corner. If you got him in your corner, encouraging you, and, you know, he's right there in your conscience, just uplifting you every single time. So boxing, yeah, I incorporate everything, like my whole life into just a boxing ring. And like God is the ref. You know what I'm saying? He's in charge of all the low blows. You know, he takes care of those who, you know, who want to harm me. You know, vengeance is his. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, he just ensures that, you know, I'm in, that God is blessing me and he's in my favor. And you know what I'm saying?
Amen. Okay. So what do you say to those who question your spirituality, who step out to you and they say, well, if you're a Christian, you should not be working as a fighter? What do you say to those people?
Well, I believe it or not, I do actually get that a lot, you know, because
I believe.
They think that, you know, Christianity is, you know, you're supposed to be all about love and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, you're judging me because, you know, you think I'm somebody that is, you know, angry and that loves violence, and you're wrong. I'm a peaceful warrior. You know, I only resort to violence if I absolutely have to, you know, but, and on top of it, this is, like I said, I compare just the Christianity, spirituality. It's very real. It's very spiritual. And there's spiritual forces that are evil trying to take me down. So I have to fight. You have to fight. This life is not no, you know, patty cake, love and handshakes. It's a fight. And, you know, you gotta make sure that you and your loved ones are protected and suited up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's kind of like how my perspective is. I don't even take that personal when people come at me that way because they don't know me personally, obviously.
And they're confused. They're confused. I mean,
yeah.
You have to hear a word from God sometimes to understand other people's journey, but it's really not for you to understand. You should be worrying about your salvation and bringing other people to Christ, not what every step someone else is taking.
Correct.
So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much probably getting that double time then, because a lot of times, you know, I'm pretty sure that you're obviously hearing a little backlash about being a fighter, but Christians get that as Christian hip hop artists as well. They say, well, you know, Christian rap is not of God.
Yeah, right. Yep. I see too much of that. Mm-hmm. I definitely see how people, you know, attack people for that all the time. Like, one of my favorite rappers, I'm not sure if you guys know him. You guys know Seven?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a rapper. You guys know him?
Mm-hmm. We know of him.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites. And I know that he gets, like, I've seen his YouTube comments. People just, you know, they call him fleshy. They call him, you know, all types of different things. Like, and then it's like, I don't know. Like, I respect his, I mean, I kind of do. But, like, you got to understand where he's coming from. He used to be a gangster.
Exactly.
Story. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to understand where he's coming right. from. Like, he's like, just like me, I'm telling my testimony, and it needs to be told, because those people who have that common ground, and they can be delivered. And it's just one song, too. You can write another song about anything. You can write a song of a love song, like, to, you know, put people like, they're coming from, but they need to worry about themselves more. And instead of just kind of you know, let's say they are in the wrong, let's say they are being a little fleshy, you should convict your brothers instead of condemn them. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it seems like everyone has their own idea of what Christian hip hop is supposed to sound like. And you know what my Christian hip hop sounds like shouldn't be determined by no other person, because, you know, they didn't experience my journey.
Right. Right. Let the spirit move. The spirit determines that. Let the spirit move. So how has Christian hip hop culture and, you know, Christian hip hop period influenced you?
Well, it's given me life. You know, before I was into like more secular music, like, you know, like Kendrick Lamar and Jay-Z, Kanye West, Drake and J. Cole, and, you know, just artists like that. But when I found Christian hip hop, it spoke life to me. I was able to relate to it in my new walk with Jesus. And I highly respected the artist for doing it, because you will get a lot of backlash for it. You will get a lot of hate and rejection. I perform Christian songs in a club, and I've gotten crickets after my performance. And I had high energy performance. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really killed the stage. I know that the spirit was in me, and just crickets, because it's my testimony and they couldn't believe it. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, but that's how it is being a Christian. You know, you're in the world, you're not of the world. So the world hates you. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So Christian hip hop has definitely helped me, and it's encouraged my walk a lot. You know, I went to a Seven concert. It was actually his last concert, ironically, and he's done with Christian hip hop. Like, he's just he's leaving the whole scene, and I'm not really sure why, but I know that he mentioned that he's focusing more on ministry over anything. So he's focusing more on, you know, doing prayer walks around the country, and you know, pastoring and just being a part of a ministry, and helping his brothers grow as well. Like, it was very humbling being in his presence, because just seeing how he was, it inspired me, because I was just like a year and a half into my Christian walk, and I realized that I needed to take this Christian thing way more seriously. You know what I'm saying? Because it's very real. And when he was actually explaining it kind of the same way I was explaining it to you, like, this is real warfare. Like, you know, like he was explaining how he lost his brothers, and he's dealing with all this guilt because he never got to tell him about the gospel. You know what I'm saying? Like, life is too short for you to be playing games, for you to be focused on your selfish ambitions. You need to focus more on, be more about the Father's business. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
All right. So, aside from Seven, did you have any, you know, other inspirations as far as, you know, Christian hip hop artists or artists in general?
Yeah, I got to say Seven's my favorite. And I do like a lot of people from his little, I'm not sure if it's a label. It's called Hog Mob. It stands for Hooked on God Ministry Over Business. So it's like his little rap group. I like everybody that's a part of it. They also do a lot of collaborations with God Over Money. So like Bizzle and I also like Kingdom Music, Brian Trejo. He's a big one of my favorites.
Okay.
Also local Christian hip hop artists too. There's a dude I've been listening to in the Tampa Bay area named Tyler Hollingsworth, and he's pretty dope. And his little thing is From the Streets, From the Cross. He grew up in South St. Pete, and now, you know, God has helped him and called him to minister to his brothers down there. And I like supporting local, you know, hip hop artists, like people that you never really, you know, people on Instagram. I'll just type in the hashtag Christian hip hop, and I found a lot recently. And it's all good music.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of good music in Christian hip hop because it's so many different sounds.
Right. Yeah. Unique. So how long have you been rapping? That's secular or Christian, doesn't matter.
Well, let's see. I dropped my first song February 7th, 2018. That's my birthday. That's my 20th birthday. And so it's going to be like 2.5 years, I would say. And I dropped my first mixtape on 7/27, so July 27th, and then that's upcoming in about a month, and I'm going to be dropping my first album that day. It's going to be on all platforms, because I have like a bunch of songs on SoundCloud and, you know, YouTube and stuff like that. And it's just like, you know, I was kind of just rapping for fun, and now I'm making, and I was kind of figuring out my sound. And when I went to a different church, because in my first songs and my first mixtape and, you know, stuff like that, I was cursing in my music and stuff like that. I was still young as a Christian, but it was still like kind of Christian, but not really, because it was cursing and, you know, talking about stuff I was doing, like I was smoking weed and, you know, just I was a baby Christian. When I found a different church, and there was these kids there, and they just looked up to me so much. And I heard the artists that they were listening to. They were listening to like 6ix9ine, Lil Skies, Lil Uzi. And I was like, yo, you guys are really listening to these people? So, like, you know, I kind of wanted to tell them they should listen to me, or they should listen. So I kind of, but I at the same time, I was like, no, y'all can't listen to me either, though. You know what I'm saying? I don't want you guys to hear me talking about smoking weed and stuff like that. So I'm like, I got to change my approach. This is what God has called me to do. He called me to be, you know, the voice for the new generation. You know what I'm saying? So God has, he's like, why don't you just try writing without curse words? All right, why don't you know what I'm saying? So then I was like, okay, so then I did it. And so yeah, now I don't curse at all. And I've also found, at that time, I found more Christian artists. I wasn't really listening to too many Christian artists at the time. And God has helped me a lot with that, you know, once I actually opened my mind to it and actually started trying to do it more for him and less for myself, then you know, he's helped me a lot with that.
That's good. That's good. So yeah, what are your goals? Good. What are your goals within Christian hip hop, within the ministry?
My goal is to give the kids good music. Good music, because music shaped my identity growing up. I used to, you know, I was that kid in school that always listened to music. I would always listen to like Drake and Kanye and, you know, stuff like that. And I want to help them. I want to be able to minister to them without being there 24/7. You know what I'm saying? Just give them something encouraging to listen to. You know what I'm saying? That sounds good, that they're able to enjoy. And because it's helped me a lot. Music has, you know what I'm saying? But it's helped me, like a lot of it is not so positive. Like you know, in the industry, they glorify smoking weed a lot, and that builds curiosity in your head. And that's what led me to smoking weed. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to make music for the new generation. I want to give them something that they can benefit from.
Okay. So if you could choose a hip hop artist to cross over to Christian hip hop, who would that artist be?
Ooh, that's a good question. Who would that be? Well, to be honest, I don't really listen to the world like that anymore. But I would say, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with Funk Volume. You ever heard of like Hopson,
Dizzy Wright?
Yeah,
I'm familiar with them.
Okay, yeah, I really like their music. I've listened to a lot of them in high school and stuff like that. I mean, I kind of see it in their music. Like,
right, I think Hopson teeter totters the line.
Yeah, he does. But
with especially with them, with his like the Ill Mind of Hopson series.
Yeah, but I think he's in too deep into the the darkness. Because, but I believe I still got faith that he can make it out. You know,
yeah, you can see that it's like it's tearing him apart.
Oh yeah, definitely. Me and my wife talk about it. You know, I show him Hopson's music. I really feel his music, especially his new stuff. I think it would be amazing to see him like come out as a bold Christian, kind of like what Kanye did. You know, I'm not sure if Kanye's album is, you know, I really like his album. Honestly, I don't, have you guys heard Jesus is King?
I haven't.
It's worth listening to for sure. It's like what he's saying. I can feel his emotions, but at the same time, what he's doing in the world, it's conflicting with what he's saying in his music. So maybe he's like in one foot in with Jesus and then one foot in the world, because that's how I was at first. So maybe he just time, you know, I don't know, but I just don't trust it, because you know, he spent a lot of time in that. I don't know, but I know that I know that God is able to do anything, and he's able to save anybody. So
yes, he is. Absolutely.
Yeah. And what Kanye did, honestly, he led a lot of people to the cross through that. Like, people were talking about Kanye left and right, and people were showing up to his shows. People were getting saved at his shows. So Kanye, at the end of the day, led a lot of people to the cross. And that's how I feel about John Ramirez too. There's a lot of things that you know, he does that kind of rubs me the wrong way. But at the end of the day, he led me to the cross, you know, like his testimony was powerful enough to lead me to the cross. But, so, I mean, there's even a scripture that's like, you know, even if they pervert my word or something, it doesn't, for what does it matter? I don't know what it is, but maybe it's in your head right now. It's, he says, if they use my word for their selfish ambitions, what does it matter for Jesus' name is being prayed? I mean, praised. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of how I see it. you know.
Yeah.
And you have to have the spirit of discernment. You got to be able, I mean, the gift of discernment, you have to be able to know if you know, you should be following them, if you should be feeding this to your spirit, or if not, you know. You got to be wise. You got to be able to discern, you know, who's being genuine, where are the wolves in sheep's clothing. And sometimes you just got to take, you take what you can from something and discard what's not beneficial to you, you know?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to ask, so what was your transition from secular music to Christian hip hop like?
It was like a new world. Like, it was, I really loved listening to Christian hip hop, and I didn't want to feed my mind nothing else. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, it was encouraging. It was inspiring, and it helped me write my own lyrics. And, it just gives me life listening to Christian hip hop, because hip hop is a passion of mine. I really love hip hop and poetry, and you know how people can put the words together in a melodic flow. I think it's beautiful. And, you know, just to hear somebody do it for God, and hear people say their real stories and real experiences with God through music, it's very beautiful and very influential and very impactful in my life. So when I actually heard of Christian hip hop and dove into it, it was like diving into music all over again. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, I remember like just feeling the same way about secular music. Like, I think it's just so beautiful that people can tell real life stories and make it sound beautiful. And, you know, people, so you can relate to it. But Christian, it's like, it's a whole new world, because when you're a born again Christian, I think you need that Christian music to help you. It's helped me for sure. Like tremendously. Yeah. And my wife has only been a Christian now for 2 years now. And she's come so far. When we met, she was not a Christian. She wasn't opposed to becoming a Christian, but you know, I told her straight up, I was like, hey, look, you know, I put God first, you know, and I don't want anything to hinder my walk. We have this strong emotional connection or whatever, but I'm letting you know, like, he's before anything. And she didn't really understand that, but she just gave him a shot. And God has revealed himself to her through dreams, through a lot of different experiences. And, you know, now we're both bold Christians. Amen. And it's beautiful.
Amen. Amen to that.
So tell us a little bit more about your spiritual journey over the course of your life. How has that been?
All right. So growing up, my mom has been in, her family is Catholic. And she's also jumped from from Mormon philosophy too. And just like, you know, so she always had the word in her life. So she believed it. She always believed that, you know, God created the world. And, I was never told that growing up. I was never fed the word. So I was fed what the world taught me, you know, evolution. And, you know, we started with a big bang and all this other stuff. So growing up, that's what, and on top of that, my dad, he came from a Catholic school. So he grew up going to Catholic school, and he grew like a hatred towards Catholicism because of how, I'm not even sure, but we haven't really talked about it. It's a touchy subject, and I need to like break out of that and actually talk to him like about, you know, what's holding you back from Jesus. But long story short, he just has like this, he thinks that religion is meant to put people in a box and control them with the fear of going to hell. So you have to do this, and you have to dedicate your time to a ministry and help them grow. And so he put that in my mind. So growing up like that, I was like, okay, he's making sense, you know? And then, so I just never had no relationship with God, didn't really believe God was real. And so then I got a little older, and my dad also taught me what the word, I will never forget this. I was like 6 years old, and he taught me what the word prophet meant. That's when you take something and then you spend a little money, and then what you make back, that's the profit. So he told me how to buy, he taught me how I can make money selling candy. So I sold candy, I sold gum, I started, you know, looking for how to make a little bit of money so I can buy the little things that I wanted. I thought it was fun. It was like something that I enjoyed at a young age. And So as I got older, I started doing it with weed. And I realized, you know, because I saw this kid, I was like 16 years old. I saw this kid like 13 years old pulling out like $2,000 in cash, and it's just straight drug money. And it made me envious. I was like, what? Like, this kid is really making this kind of money, and I'm over here working at Little Caesars for like $100 a week. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, I can do that because I already have that hustler in me. I've been doing this since I was, you know, 7 years old. So I started doing it. I started moving very low key. I started, you know, I thought I was so smart with what I was doing. I thought I would never get caught like the people around me did. So I started, you know, I picked up some more weight and stuff like that. I was doing this all in my mom's house. She had no idea. And I moved very smart, and I thought that I was invincible because I was making all this money and I was working a pizza delivery job. I was making decent money doing that. And as I was doing that, I was making sales and stuff like that. So I thought I was, you know, I thought I was doing amazing and nothing could stop me. I got all this pride and cockiness in me. And on top of that, I just became the state champion boxer I've been undefeated, and I had all this, it's crazy how I was and how I am now, but I was a completely different person.
Oh, trust me. I know the feeling.
Yeah. And just talking about it, I'm just like, wow, was I really like this? Yes, I was. And long story. And I had this, the ex-girlfriend of mine, her mom is Peruvian. So they're into like Santeria, which is like,
oh, okay. Yeah. I know, it's like witchcraft,
voodoo-ish. It's you know, South American. So they're into that. And well, she's not really into it. My girl at the time, she was not into it, but her mom was. And they practiced, you know, reading tarot cards and stuff like that. And that stuff interests me. And so I dabbled into that. I also started looking up on YouTube. I saw something that really interested me was astral projection. And that's people having the ability to leave their bodies. And I was like, wow, like that really interests me because that was like proof of afterlife. You know, if your soul can actually detach from your body, then that means there's proof of afterlife, because there's all these people testifying and telling what they do and all these people sharing their experiences and how to do it. So I was dabbling into that. I was trying to do it. Like I was practicing lucid dreaming. So I was really practicing into opening spiritual doors, and I didn't really know what I was doing, but I was opening spiritual doors that led to demonic activity. And then on top of that, I dabbled into psychedelics, and those are spiritual portals in themselves. In the Bible, it talks about drugs being a sorcery. So like those drugs specifically, like ayahuasca, I tried all of that. And I've had a lot of different experiences. And so basically I was a new ager. And I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with that term, but it's like somebody who practices the new age occult. So it's almost like mastering yourself and believing that everything is connected. And I believe that. I believe we all come from the same God in the same heavens. But the way that they put it is like everything is connected. Therefore, you're connected with God. Therefore, you are God. And we are.
So kind of like Ross Harris.
Yeah.
I had this philosophy in my head, and I was really believing it. I was practicing the law of attraction. I was preaching the law of attraction. I was, you know, I was doing, I became very, very, you know, like hippie-ish. I was looking to these idols on YouTube who were preaching the same things and educating people on the same topics and stuff like that, like law of attraction and, you know, all this other stuff. And, you know, so I was a new ager. I was an aspiring psychic. I was interested in how psychics were able to, tell you things about you that you never even knew about yourself. And then I understood, I even worked for a psychic for a good little while. And he taught me a lot of things about how it really works. And it's really communication with spirits, with familiar spirits. They're able to grab information in the spirit world and then bring it to the physical in the head. So it's like you're building a relationship with these spirits, and then you think that these spirits are working for you, but ultimately you're working for them. And that's how it works. So I dabble into all of this. And then I got arrested. And when I got arrested for selling weed, I just turned 18. I got this felony on me. And when that happened, that's when I realized I'm not in control. I thought I was in control of everything because, you know, this law of attraction basically preaches that, you know, you control your thoughts and your thoughts shape your reality. Your words shape your reality. Therefore, if bad things happen to you, it's your fault because you created it and all you got to do is change it. So that was my head. I'm in control of everything. I can change it. So, you know, I saw all these signs prior to me getting arrested that I should stop doing what I'm doing. And then it was God, you know, just telling me. And it was also, you know, my aunt praying for me. I had people praying for me. And I just God's hands was on me when I didn't deserve it. And I saw it when I was in the cell. I was sitting in the cell and I was like, okay, God, you're real. And I'm not in control. And I see all the signs. And you have been so gracious because you've been, you know, you gave me like 8 chances before I got this result. And so, yeah, I humbled myself, completely humbled myself. And I realized that there is a God because of my own experience. And then I didn't believe in Jesus yet, though, until all of the I still was practicing all this other stuff. And when I got arrested, her mom did not like me anymore. She thought I ruined my life. I'm always going to have a felony on me. She wants nothing to do with me and her daughter, but her daughter's in love with me, so she's not going to leave me and stuff like that. So she put a curse on us, and she got a lot of her she even got other people to get involved in this curse, and it resulted in me hearing these thoughts that were literally speaking and just making me feel like I was nothing, just making me feel like I couldn't even put my thoughts into words. I was having speech problems and I was believing that I'm not good at expressing myself. Like I was actually speaking that. I said, I'm not good at expressing myself. Me and my girl would go to Chili's and I would be so shy to speak to the server. I would even order my own food. I had my girl do it and I would smoke a lot to numb all of this. And this was going on in the spirit. It's just like it was almost like my throat was being choked. Like I just couldn't really speak. And I even told my mom, I'm not good at expressing myself. And my mom told me, boy, you don't remember you getting in trouble in school for like talking too much. And now you're over here telling me you can't express yourself. Like, and she was like, you know, she's like, there's something wrong with you. She said that. She's like, you're not right in the head. There's something wrong with you. And when she said that, it really hit me. It's like, she's right. I am not right in the head. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to figure it out. So I went to this psychic down the street and she was able to read my cards. And something in the spirit told her that what's going on, you're being attacked spiritually through voodoo, through witchcraft. And it's through somebody who hates you. And it's through somebody who doesn't like you because you spend a lot of time with them and she wants to spend more time with them. She, you know what I'm saying? And then in my head, I'm like, how does she know this? So this stuff intrigued me even more because she never even met me and she's telling me all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and she was right. And so but the thing is, this is where, you know, the evil comes in. She manipulated my fear. She saw me suffering and mm-hmm. she manipulated me by saying, okay, all I need to do is do some meditation in the spirit realm and I'll get my people together and we'll help you heal. I'm looking at you as if you were my child and I'm going to help you. And all you need to do is pay $800, you know what I'm saying? And I paid all this money and it didn't work. She recommended these little oils for me to take a bath in and say these prayers and it didn't work. I mean, of other things. So I decided to go to a different psychic, like that's gonna help. But you know, like I said, I was trying everything in my power to get sane, because at this point I realized that I'm not sane. I'm slowly losing my mind. So I went to a different psychic and they basically did this. Oh, I didn't even say this part. So at this psychic he wanted me to do this animal sacrifice, and he said that it will heal me. This is what I've been missing. That, you know, he was like, those candles and stuff, they can only do so much. That lady, she didn't know what she was doing. What you need is a powerful blood sacrifice and you will be healed. And that did not sit right in my spirit even back then. So I was like, I don't know. So then I did some research on it, and what I found on Google was like, yeah, it's actually not that bad. And I was like, okay. So like I ended up getting convinced to do it, and it made everything 10 times worse. they lied to me. They took my money. They wasted my time. They made me do something that is, you know, probably my darkest sin. And I just, you know, it just made things worse. Like, I was experiencing tremendous bad luck. Like, somebody slashed my tires in my driveway and then came up and tried to start a fight with me at my door. And just a bunch of things were happening left and right. It was a living hell. Every single day, something bad, a negative force was just at my door. And just things were, like, the devil was really out to get me. Out driving, and I would have thoughts that, like, oh, we're gonna crash your car. Like, I would have all these thoughts that were just, like, you know, just teasing me of death. And it was crazy. It was crazy. I was having images in my head of really evil things that were literally just being put into my head, like babies being murdered, like blood. And it was very dark and sinister, and I could not escape it. So that was my spiritual journey. And then, like I said, that all led to me watching that testimony and then me calling on the name of Jesus and then finally getting saved, and everything was just gone. Like, all of those thoughts, all of that was just gone. And then it did try to come back, but it was a matter of, you know, God testing my faith. He's like, I healed you. Do you believe that you're healed? Because if you don't believe, it's going to come back. You know, he's like, you need to surround yourself with people that actually know me so you can get an understanding of me. So that's what I did. I went to church by myself and I got baptized. I started looking at Christian testimonies of other people. So I did all this stuff on my own to help my faith grow. I was looking at people's outer body experiences and going to heaven and stuff like that. I just fed my spirit all of this so I can have more faith, because I knew that my faith was keeping the demons away. So, I went to church, and then that the church was, it helped me a lot, but I couldn't relate to anybody there because everybody was old, and I needed a different environment. And then I went to a different church, and then that's where I met those kids, and then that changed my whole music. And then the pastor, like, appreciated my music, you know, helped me. He allowed me to perform some songs, and then I realized that, you know, I'm supposed to be doing this for God, because that's why God gave this gift, you know.
For sure,
and
I tried to
explain that to the other pastor, but he just didn't understand. And, you know, God blessed that pastor and everything, but it was time for me to move on to somewhere else where God could use me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some pastors or Christians just not, they're not quite open to the radical praise.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Yeah, you've had quite the journey.
Yeah, and it's God has done so much in such little time. And I believe, you know, he's far from done, because now that we're out here and we've moved, we took in a huge leap of faith. We've asked God to confirm it, because we were, you know, back at home, we were, you know, both dealing with, you know, some sin that we were struggling to get away from. Like, I knew a lot of people back home, and I was picking up a little bit of weed and selling it and stuff like that. And I wanted to break out of it, because I know that God was in my head saying, why are you doing this? You don't trust that I'm able to provide, you know, why are you staying in sin? This and that. And I was like, I was stuck in it because I already had it. So I'm going to be losing my money when I got to get rid of it. And then, you know, one thing led to another, and it's like, oh, I can make another couple hundred real quick if I just grab another one. You know what I'm saying? So I was stuck in that. And on top of that, the reason why I was stuck in it, though, is because my wife liked to smoke, and she didn't want to let go of it yet. So I'm like, if she's going to smoke, I don't want her to just smoke our money. I'm just going to get a larger quantity and make my money back. And then it led into me just getting right back into it. So her and I were both in sin, and we both made a decision that we need to just move. Like, let's just put ourselves in an environment where we don't know nobody, and just, you know, just move away. Like, we're not that far away. Like, we're our family is 2 hours away. So we were literally just there yesterday. It takes 2 hours to drive there, but we don't know nobody out here. And, you know, we're figuring it out. We're praying heavy. We're staying in the Word more. Like, we've just been more engaged in God ever since. here because we have to trust him. Like, we don't know, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was going to get back into the working field and stuff like that. And just God is like not opening that door because he wants us to do more stuff for him. And it's been clear, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember how I found you guys, but I'm here for something. You know what I'm saying? I think it was an Instagram ad or a Facebook ad.
That's how it works.
God is so awesome, yo. Like,
yeah, he definitely always provides a way out, and I mean, that's good. I mean, sometimes we do have to separate ourselves so that we can get back on the right track, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's not, I mean, honestly, the only way to change is to admit that you have indeed a problem.
That is correct.
Change. And when you admit that you have a problem, that's when you can start working towards fixing it. You can't work towards fixing something that you don't believe is there.
Yep.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah, definitely. And I know that, you know, the further that you are away from sin, the closer you are to him. And God wants to bless those that are seeking him diligently. And he's been blessing us. Like, it's amazing what he's been doing. And he's blessing me with, you know, just new music, a new sound, and just opportunities to connect with, like, big name Christian artists and stuff like that. And, you know, just this opportunity to talk to you guys and encourage, you know, whoever may be listening, and just talking to you guys and seeing you guys doing a beautiful thing for the Lord as well. Like, it's amazing how God just puts his people together.
Absolutely. So what projects are you currently working on now?
So I just finished it yesterday. It's called Stars Gotta Shine, and it's dropping on July 27th, which is 2 years after I dropped my first mixtape. So, you know, after everything that my ex put me through, I wrote my mixtape. It's basically everything that I went through. And I wrote a letter to my ex. I have a song called Story Untold. It's about me getting arrested. I have songs about me going through probation. It was basically, it's called Soulless and Solitude because it basically means comfort being alone. Because after everything that happened, I was on my lonely walk with God and my music. I got kicked out of my mom's house and I was staying with my dad, and my dad was never home, and I was sleeping in this really run down trailer, broken AC in the hot summer. It was just not comfortable. And the only thing I had to do to connect with was my music. You know what I'm saying? I cut everybody off because after I went to jail, it's like 3 months before I went to jail, everybody was praising me for winning the state championship belt. Everybody like that I never talked to, like family is like, yo, like, you're going to do great things. I believe in you. You know what I'm saying? Don't forget about me and stuff like that. And then 3 months later, I went to jail. Everybody heard about it, and only a couple people hit me up just to check on me. So when I saw that, I was like, wow, like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? I decided to separate myself from everybody who was showing me that fake love. I don't want them to be able. So I was like, I just kind of just dived into just me and God and my music. And then, 2 years later, I got this project called Stars Gotta Shine. And I believe everybody has light inside of them. Everybody is a star. We all come from the stars. We all are from the heavens, you know? And so we all got to shine, and stars don't try to dim anybody else's light. They just shine, you know, in their own beautiful, unique way. So, yeah, I got a 7-song project coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Just the timing is perfect.
Okay. And so you submitted one line from the album Poetry in Motion, correct?
Yes. So all of those songs are all on SoundCloud, and that's like the beginning MCKO. Now I'm like, I believe I'm just on another level for God. This is, this is kind of just me figuring out my sound and stuff like that. Actually, when I recorded this, I was kind of sick, so my voice is extremely raspy in it. And this is part of my, I got a couple EPs on SoundCloud. I have over 60 songs there. And it's going to stay there forever, but the new songs are going to be strictly on, Apple Music and stuff like that. And it's going to be music for everybody. Like this music on my SoundCloud is like for people like me, but this new music is anybody can listen to it. You can be, kids can listen to it. you know, older people can listen to it, the church can listen to it, anybody can listen to it. And that's what I'm making music for. I want to make music just to glorify God and just shine my light that he's put in me. And that's why it's called Stars Gotta Shine.
All right, you're about to hear MC KO's hit, Roaring Lion. Let's get it.
All right, let's hear it.
I felt so weak,
so weak,
and stay low-key.
Low-key.
My thoughts in my mind were violent.
Crazy.
Let my soul speak, cause I get so deep. I get lost in my rhymes when I'm writing. Cause I went crazy, but God saved me. And I will not be silenced. I was broken, showed no emotion. Now I'm a roaring lion. I hope you feel this, cause mental illness is very serious. I was dealing with spirits that are ventriloquists, playing with my heart, torturing my mind, saying turn away from God.
Murder in my brain and I couldn't turn it off. My energy was drained, thinking absurd thoughts going off on my mom. She just wanted to talk, I was so pissed off and I didn't know why. I lost my mind, so I tried to find it, talk to a psychic. Yes, that's what I did, and I learned I was cursed. I was under a spell, there was powers at work wanting me to fail.
And I felt so weak,
so weak.
I stayed low key.
Low key.
My thoughts in my mind were violent.
Crazy.
Let my soul speak, cause I get so deep. I get lost in my rhymes when I'm writing. So Jesus saved me from schizophrenia. Voices in my head, images of bloody death.
Whoa.
Not my thought process,
no
that's demonic.
Uh-huh.
I was 17, selling weed and LSD. Life ain't what it seems in front of your eyes. Each human being has a powerful mind. What do you see when you dream at night? When you were asleep, how do you perceive light?
Uh-huh.
Think about it, your eyes are shut. So how can you see inside your mind, bruh? Don't be limited to your physical self. Open your eyes to the spiritual realm. If you see demons, call on Jesus. They will leave in peace if you seek him,
yeah.
Cause he's the son of God. They can't touch the cross.
No.
Look at me, I'm free. All my demons are gone.
No.
They didn't want me to talk,
no, no,
because of my potential.
Yeah.
Now I walk with God. I am on another level. Stunting on the devil with every song I drop. And I ain't gonna stop like I'm running from the cops. Cause I went crazy,
yeah,
but God saved me.
Yeah.
And I will not be silent.
Nah.
I was broken, showed no emotion. Now I'm a roaring lion. I feel so weak,
so weak,
and stay low key.
Low key.
My thoughts in my mind were violent.
Crazy.
Let my soul speak, cause I get so deep. I get lost in my rhymes when I'm writing.
All right, all right. That was Roaring Lion by MCKO. And you said those songs are on SoundCloud, correct?
Yes, those songs are on SoundCloud. I got
so you guys go and push that button till you can't push it no more.
That's right.
It's definitely Christian hip hop, you know, but it has a rock sound.
Oh yeah,
it has a rock sound.
Yeah, a lot of my songs are not like that, but I do have a side of me that has a soft spot for rock because my dad was a guitarist, and so I grew up listening to a lot of like Jimi Hendrix and stuff like that. And I really vibe with guitar beats, so yeah, that song, and I got a couple other songs that are like on some punk rock type beats. And yeah.
Okay, nice. I like the fact that you're publicly and openly sharing your story. A lot of times we go through things that we like to keep bottled up to ourselves, but sometimes, or really all the time, God allows us to go through these things so that we can indeed share that testimony with others. And that really is ultimately what helps bring souls to Christ, seeing our own story, our own lifestyle.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
That's what led me to the cross, and that's what my lady's doing with her story. She's come from abusive relationships and you know, homeless shelters and a bunch of other things, and she's able to relate to those souls and those broken souls that are just being manipulated by somebody. And yeah, because they're open to hearing from her. They don't like, she says that a lot of those people are very hard headed because a lot of people try to tell her what, you know, what's good and stuff like that. And she never listens to them, but they listen to her because she's been there. Mm-hmm. So that testimony,
yeah,
it's God given as well. God puts us through that for a reason.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Nice. Keep making music for the kingdom. So what else do you do? What's in your skill set?
I want to train people how to box because, boxing has helped me tremendously grow up. It's given me, the spirit to overcome adversity and challenges in life. I believe that the youth these days, they fold under pressure way too easy and they give into anxiety too much. And I believe, maybe the reason why I had, a strong repelling spirit against all of that was because of boxing, because there's a lot of challenges. The world is trying to knock you down. So when you have that spirit in you that's built up to overcome it, it helps a lot. So it's helped me a lot mentally growing up, and I want to be able to teach people how to box and how to, just how to defend themselves and how to, just mentally train them as well, coach them. So I want to be a boxing trainer. And my wife is really good with her videography skills and stuff. So I'm still figuring it out. Whatever God wants me to do, that's where I'm at, So I'm kind of just like going with whatever God wants me to do. I'm going with the flow.
That's pretty cool. So do you freestyle by chance?
I do freestyle.
Okay. Yeah. Is that something you'd be interested in doing for us or for the people listening?
Yeah. I mean, I am a little nervous. I don't really freestyle like that like I used to, but I don't mind.
Oh, it's all good.
I might stumble. I mean, yeah, because I haven't really, honestly, 2020, I haven't really been focusing on music. I've been doing other things, but recently, like this past month, I've been picking it back up. Like I'm recording this album. I got back in the studio and stuff like that. I've been focusing more on this videography, this dynamic visions that me and my wife are building. So like my freestyle game is very rusty. Like I tried to freestyle the other day and I stumble here and there, but why not? Let's do it.
You can go ahead and kick it off if you like.
Yeah, we can do it.
Okay. All right. I was born to serve the Father. My life was written and he is the author. A lot of things happened in my life because of him. I made it out of. That's right. I'm not a doubter. I'm a believer. That's right. I had to grieve the loss of my father, but he's sitting with God. That's right. A lot of stuff happened in my life. It was hard, but still I'm going to ride with God because that's the squad.
Amen. I see you going hard with your thoughts. In this game, we gotta give it our all. We cannot fall. If we do, that's okay. We gotta make moves through his grace. Every single day, I'm trying to elevate straight to heaven's gates. Gotta set it straight. I will never stop, man. I'm going to the top. And I know God is with me. I ain't gonna flop. That's just how I feel. All I do is keep it real. I'm just trying to pay the bills. These are more than decent skills. It's a God-given gift. I'm not gonna quit. Gonna take my gifts. I don't know. See, that's where I'm at.
It's all good. It's all good. It's all for his glory.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. So when can we expect to hear more?
July 27th. That's my best music. It's nothing like Roaring Lion. I mean, Roaring Lion, it's got a special place in my heart because it is my testimony, but just the sound is nothing compared to what I got. Like, I got a bunch of uplifting. I mean, the first four songs are very uplifting and motivational and just like good beats and stuff like that and very, very melodic. And then the next song, it kind of gets a little emotional. I'm talking about, I got a song called Rest in Peace, Owen Melon. I literally just wrote it 2 days ago and recorded it yesterday. And it's about, it's a very melodic song and it's about my friend who passed away recently. He actually worked in the psychic shop with me, with that guy. So him and I were on our spiritual journey together. And I've told him a little bit about, I told him a lot about what Jesus has done in my life and stuff like that. And, I've even tried to bring him to church one day, but he never came because that psychic guy convinced him, like, oh, you don't need to go to church. So he just never went. And then he got shot in downtown St. Pete, and he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was a home invasion, and I heard he died. And ever since that guy fired me, because we were working for the psychic, and he fired me because he literally gave me no reason. He just said, "Hey, don't show up tomorrow. Hey, take the week off." And I realized what it was. It's because he didn't want me working for him because of, you know, God and me. And I don't know why, but at the time I thought it was okay to work for him. But, you know, God separated us for a reason. And when he quit, when he fired me, him and I kind of just fell off. And I try to maintain that relationship with him and stuff like that. But he just kind of he didn't hit me up and stuff like that. So I kind of held on to resentment and unforgiveness towards him and stuff like that. And then I got married and he wanted to hit me up and chill like that. And I kind of gave him the cold shoulder. Next thing I knew, he died. So I wrote a song that basically is a letter to him. And I realized my life is too short to hold on to stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? That was a situation that neither of us could control. And, yeah, I just, you know, I prayed for his salvation. I put that in the lyrics as well. And it's a very powerful song. And it's definitely a God-given song that was meant to be written. So that song is going to be on the album. And there's another song with another dope artist out here in St. Pete, where I'm from. And it's called Handle Issues Like a Man. It's on like a Spanish guitar beat. And he's, you know, he's sliding on the beat. And then I'm sliding on the beat. And then that's it. So this album is just 7 songs that are all very powerful, all very, you know, very nice sounding songs. And it's just like the beginning to what I got coming next. What I got coming next is going to be a completely new sound. I'm going for like a lo-fi Christian vibe. Like, I want to be able to make music that is pleasant on the ear. I'm getting back into it. God has called me to do this more. And I've realized that, you know, especially recently, like, he's like, why'd you stop doing music? Like, I gave you this gift for a reason.
If you could choose just one thing, one valuable point that you want listeners to take from your music, what would that point be?
One point. Well, one point would be the point of life. So the meaning of life is love. And the greatest love ever displayed was literally at the point, the vertical and the horizontal, the cross. So, you know, just the point of life is Jesus. He will set you free. And that's the greatest. And love, you know, just love yourself, love people, love God, just spread love. Because in a world full of hate, in a world full of greed, in a world full of envy, we need more love than anything. So my message is love MCKO, because that's ever since my first single, I put that at the end of my songs, like love MCKO, love. That's the last. If I were to leave this earth, love MCKO. You know, just love. I'm trying to push more love than anything in this world. And I believe, you know, that's the point of life. So that's that one point that I would give people for my music, is just love.
Okay. Awesome. So is there anything else that you would like to say to your listeners about yourself, your music, your projects, your vision, your beliefs, anything else?
I believe everybody is a star. God has given everybody their unique gifts. Everybody has their unique talents, and they're all God-given. So don't forget to credit God for your God-given gifts. You know, you have talent. It's all because of God. You know, God can take away your talent, believe it or not. So,
oh, for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, make sure to always give credit to God. And if you will seek him, you could do greater things than you ever imagined. And I'm living proof of that. I've always wanted to do music and never believed that I could. And then when I accepted Jesus in my heart, he literally gave me the gift. And it was a slow start. It was a lot of frustration and, you know, but I set my mind and heart to it. And eventually I got to where I am now. And on the album, I got a feature with this artist out in Dallas. And his name is Harmony. He's a Christian hip hop artist. And he's going to be on my album as well. And that's just an example of what God can do for you. Or, you know, if you just use your gifts for him, whatever it may be, he'll connect you with the right people. So you can be a beacon of light for everybody else. Best believe that. And also, you know, be more about the Father's business than your own selfish ambitions.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen.
Thank you so much for your honesty.
For sure, guys. God bless you guys.
God bless you
as well.
Guys, it was a pleasure speaking with you guys. Thank you very much.
Likewise, thank you for your time.
Likewise.
All right, guys, that was MCKO. Thank you for tuning in. Check out his music on YouTube and SoundCloud. Check out his bio and the links to where you can find his music in the description below. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Are gone. They didn't want me to talk because of my potential. Yeah. Now I walk with God. I am on another level. Stunting on the devil with every song I drop. And I ain't gonna stop like I'm running from the cops. Cause I went crazy, yeah. But God saved me. Yeah. And I will not be silent. Nah. I was broken, showed no emotion. Now I'm a roaring lion. I feel so weak and stay low key. My thoughts in my mind were violent. Crazy. Let my soul speak, cause I get so deep. I get lost in my rhymes when I'm writing. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in to C-Notes Christian Hip Hop Culture Podcast, Up and Coming Artist Edition. We thank you so much for listening. We love you. We thank you so much for tuning in. If you are indeed a Christian hip hop artist and you'd like to be on our podcast and share your music, we definitely want to hear from you. Check out the info in the description. There will be instructions for you on how to be on this podcast. If you are indeed a listener who has been impacted by Christian hip hop in any way, we want to hear from you too. So definitely reach out with the same steps. Follow us on social media. Follow C-Note. Follow Illy Enforcement Entertainment. Thanks again for tuning in. We love you. Be blessed. Let me get a C-Note. Perfect.